A new book is about to hit the shelves, Sport of Queens, Women in Australian Horse Racing, and its author, Shane McNally, joins us on Talking Horses. Hi, Shane.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Well, gender equality in sport is certainly a hot issue of the current time, and we're seeing that in the Women's League of the AFL being pushed very much over the past 12 to 18 months. And I guess what it raises is issues around gender equality in other sports, and your focus has been on horse racing.
Yeah, well, it does seem timely with the AFL push, but I mean, this book... I wrote the first chapter of this in 2006, and then I tried publishers and nobody was interested, and really when Michelle Payne won the Cup, suddenly there was interest, and then a publisher that was interested dropped it again. So it was one of those ones that was hard to get people interested for a while. I think it's changed the last 12 months quite strongly, and Melbourne Books came on board. But it just shows you, I mean, I actually had a publisher many years ago saying, I don't think anybody would be interested in it. And I found that a bizarre thing, because I was quite sure, surely women would be interested at least in a book of women in Australian horse racing.
Yeah. So when you challenged them as to why they didn't think there would be any interest, what did they say?
Really, they didn't give much of an explanation. It was just that we don't, you know, we're publishers. I won't mention the publisher, this particular one, but they said we do sports books and we don't think this would sell. And I thought, well, you do books on captains of every club and that sort of, you know, these sorts of things that are very narrow markets, although people from those clubs feverishly buy them. But I just thought you would have a captive market here. A couple of people said to me, isn't that a narrow market, women in horse racing? And I thought, well, firstly, they didn't know how big horse racing is. And the other thing is that whether they think it's narrow or not, most women who have battled in horse racing would appreciate the book, probably be candidates to buy it. So I thought, I thought there was a readership there for sure.
And how candid have some of the guest interviews been?
They've been... very good. I mean, I've got the book's in two parts. The first part is, what are we looking at, 12 chapters, basically with, you know, looking at the history and the present of Australian horse racing. And then the second part is a group of particular interviews with women in the business. And they include Gay Waterhouse, Claire Lindop, you know, Michelle Payne, Denise Martin, Victoria Shaw, the race caller. There's different levels. I mean, Gay Waterhouse, very business as usual. Very good interview, though. She's always giving of her time. Claire Lindop's great, but I've known her for a lot of years. Victoria Shaw's a fantastic interview. She's probably made the odd enemy. She's quite aggressive on it. But as I was interviewing her, I found myself nodding my head all the time, going, yep, I know exactly. You know, I find it remarkable that a good race caller is still working a day job as well as race calling. When you look at the amount of men that cover bush meetings, and you know, I think Victoria said she doesn't argue that she's the best race caller in Australia, but although she's pretty good, I might add. But when you look at some race calls around the country, it's got to be a gender thing that she's not getting the job. It just has to be, because she's clearly a lot better than some of them. So they were fairly giving of their time. I disappointingly had a couple of people that I was going to put in the back part of the book who just said no, and one of them surprised me. I actually rang them about three times, fairly prominent businesswoman, and I just got a no, not interested, not interested. I thought I better stop this before I make a nuisance of myself, but I thought maybe they didn't understand, because I thought, well, they, of course, you know, I said, look, it's a 10-minute interview, it's not going to be that long, maybe 20 minutes, and they just straight out said not interested. So I got a few women too, not just men, you know, so they, you know, that weren't interested, but generally very favourable.
I wonder why you got the knockback there. There was obviously not much of an explanation given, apart from a short, sharp answer of not being interested. But what would you think was the theory behind that for that person?
I don't know. I mean, I've racked my brain over that one. Maybe she doesn't know me. I'm based in South Australia, although I'm a fairly experienced racing journalist. Look, she's a very busy person, but I've said this to politicians over the years when I've interviewed them for stories. You know, I'll take five, depending on what you've got, we can sit down and have a coffee and take an hour, or if you're really busy, you can get a lot of information from someone in 5 or 6 minutes. So, I just eventually let it go. But that was funny. I also found that a couple of women in racing clubs, I found one of them was actually a little bit embarrassed, I thought, because the race club took over and provided information for her and on her behalf. And I found that actually quite sexist, to be honest. And, you know, I thought, well, I just want to speak to the woman. She seemed a bit embarrassed. But generally it was positive, you know, but you get the odd hiccup along the way. And as I say, with a couple of women that did pull out of it, and one of them I had no doubt would be in it, you know, it made it awkward, a bit of a scramble at the end. I'm going to make up some pages here because I was sort of careless.
Well, all challenges aside then, you've managed to assemble some fantastic people to share their story and journey in racing. What have been some of the highlights stories that you've been able to document?
It's becoming increasingly documented, the Wilhelmina Smith situation. Obviously, I didn't speak to her. She's long, long passed away. But this is the now legendary jockey who rode as a man in the 1940s and 50s in Queensland. And she it was a sad life because nobody knew she was a man. They just, well, probably back in those days, the general consensus was she was an effeminate, nobody knew she was a woman. She was an effeminate man, and back in those days that wasn't well accepted, and they just left him alone, if you like. To the point that she fell badly one time, and the fellow jockey jumped off, but tried to basically undress her to help her, and she stopped them. And I don't think it was out of modesty; it was I don't want you to know that I'm a woman. There was that. I mean, I spoke to Pam O'Neill, the great Brisbane jockey, who was one of the real pioneers of women in Australian horse racing. She was riding track work better than most men at the time, and had to, I think, I'd have to go through the book again, but I think she then had to prove herself in a series of barrier trials, even though she'd ridden many trials over the years. They needed proof again that she could ride, and I thought it was one rule for men, one for women there. Spoke to Linda Jones, the groundbreaking New Zealand jockey, who came to Australia in the late 70s, and I actually opened the book with it. I talk about the fact that Linda Jones came to Adelaide. The jockeys did not take her seriously. They let her get away with a lead in front, and I think I describe it quite well. They said, you know, and I've spoken to jockeys about this over the years, that, you know, when she misjudges the pace, we'll grab her on the home turn. Or I think I said, only she didn't, and they couldn't. I mean, that's the fact. She won this Group 3 race at Adelaide, and it was the first feature race won in Australia by a woman rider. You know, there are others. Of course, Marie Linden came out to Australia and was an outstanding rider. I think she was a classic case of paying the price. She rode a horse called Argonaut Style in the Melbourne Cup. Now, I thought she wasn't one of her best rides, and I think she was an outstanding jockey. But I've since learnt that the horse was playing up badly, sweating up terribly, and was very fractious before the start. It was hard to get it to do anything, and it ran 23rd or something. Now, she never got another ride in the race. Now, if that had been any man, that had just gone, you had a bad horse or you rode a bad race, whatever it was. She was judged on that seemingly forever. So I think that's the problems that women have had to encounter over the years. Mm. I also looked at the Gay Waterhouse.
Go on, yes.
Oh, the Gay Waterhouse situation with them. And I've always had a strong opinion on this, that, you know, she was denied for a lot of years the trainer's license. you know, because of the Robbie Waterhouse buying cotton situation, and I don't think that would have happened to a man whose wife was in a similar situation. You know, I make a case in it, and I'll stand by this. Gay Waterhouse could have taught most men how to train before she was a trainer. I mean, she'd run Tullock Lodge. She was the assistant to one of the greatest horse trainers ever in the world, in Tommy Smith. To suggest that she had to, you know, that she couldn't get a license, I found ridiculous. She's a bit philosophical about it now. She didn't agree with it, but Gay's attitude to most things, and you've met her many times, I'm sure, is just, well, can't help that, let's get on with it. And she's a great interview, of course. Claire Lindop, fantastic in it. We have a situation there where she won the Victoria Derby on Rebel Raider, and two or three years later, taken off, Southern, I've gone blanks, Southern, I can't remember.
That won the Caulfield Cup.
Yeah, the mare that won the Caulfield Cup, and I've just gone blank, but a very good mare. She got taken off, Craig Williams Road, a line of a race, so you can't really make the argument. Craig won it. I know Claire wasn't happy about it. I spoke to Leon McDonald recently for a different thing. I was just doing a story for a magazine, and he said, look, I had to let it go eventually. I started to really, really annoy the owners. He was quite angry that they didn't keep Claire on the horse. Now, Claire's a champion jockey in Adelaide. I think she'd already won a premiership at that point. She'd already won a Group 1 in Melbourne. Apparently some owners didn't want her on, and they own the horse, and they've got a right to take her off, I suppose. It's a bit of the Michelle Payne situation. I think Michelle Payne kept the ride. Yeah.
So what's the conclusion after talking to all of these women across various aspects of the industry? Looking back at the history to now, do you think things have improved for women? Is it easier for them?
Yeah, I think they've improved greatly, but I still think there's a long way to go. There are still people that are biased against women jockeys. If you're in Adelaide, and I'm in Adelaide, and you've got Jamie Carr riding your horse, you've got just about the best jockey in Adelaide, you know. So, you know, she's outstanding. Linda Meach, you're not going to do much better than her. She tends to ride in provincials. So I think a lot of people are starting to recognise this now. I don't see enough women trainers still. I think that's an issue. Despite the fact that Gay's a legendary trainer, I don't see enough women coming through the training ranks. I also interview Alana Williams in Perth, former top jockey turned trainer with her husband. But I find that probably one of the issues is the front office, if you like, and the boardroom. I think boards are getting better over recent years, last year or two, actually, as you know. But I still think there are not enough women that are getting jobs as CEOs. There are a lot of women running country clubs, I spoke to someone who said, it would have even been you, I think, because this is a picture in the book in the media section. A lot of people run country clubs, but that's because they're working hard, and let's give it to the woman.
That's correct,
But it's just, I look at CEOs or major players in the big clubs, and I don't see women there. And, it's really a throwback to the 1950s if you think a woman can't be a CEO as well as a man. It's just laughable. So I still think...
Well, there hasn't yet been a female CEO of a major metropolitan race club in Australia. It's incredible. We're now in 2017. Other sports, we're seeing women taking lead roles on boards and the administrative side of things. And I guess Amanda Elliott's appointment to chair of the VRC is a big step towards that. But she's on the board side, not the CEO side.
It is. And Bo Del Francis, a young woman in Adelaide, is very impressive. And I'm sure she's going to do some good stuff, on the board side. But as you said... no CEOs in major clubs. I don't know whether they're not applying, but sometimes, and I suspect they are, but then again, they might be discouraged greatly to not apply, or you know, I mean, I haven't applied the job sometimes because I know I can do it, but people, I know they're not going to give it to me. So it might be one of those sorts of things where they go, I won't even bother. But they've definitely got to do that. And I can't believe that in this day and age, when women are running major companies around the world, women can't run race clubs. And there are so many. One of the things that gets me is that the amount of, when you get to Melbourne Cup at this type of time of the year, or you know, autumn in Sydney or in Adelaide or Brisbane or wherever, we feature young, attractive women in the advertising everywhere. Basically, you know, it's a glamour shop, but they're trying to get women to go to race clubs, and yet they can't. It's no brainer, is it? But if you're trying to get women,
well, maybe they'd be in better touch with women if they had women making some of the key decisions.
You want to get women to a racetrack. How about actually putting women in key positions? We might know what women want to do when they come to a racetrack. It's just ridiculous. So there is that. I mean, it's. I'm happy with the outcome of the book. I think it reads really well. You know, it's like any book, and I've written a novel 3 or 4 years back. But it's like any book. When you finish it, you go, I could have added more, and you sort of think, as I say, those couple of women pulled out, and since then I've thought of a couple of women that would have been really good at the back of the book, but hey, maybe there's a second book coming out down the track, don't know. It would be nice to do another one in a couple of years to see if things have changed, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. So it's released this month, October?
Yes, I think its launch date's tomorrow, October 1. It'll be
terrific. So it'll be available everywhere?
Sorry?
Will it be available in most good bookstores, as you said, cliche?
it will be in good bookstores. You can, I've looked myself, you can Google it now and you'll find ways to buy it.
How much does it sell for, Shane?
Yeah, I think it's $29.95. Frustration of being a writer, of course, is I'm sure that stores might go, we're going to sell to you for $24.95, and that'll probably come out of my profits. But, you know, it's $29.95 full price, and I think there are discounts around the place. But it's not too expensive. You know, I've seen a couple of these books recently that sell for $39 and $40 and $45, so I think it's viable at that price. I'm trying to organise a few things at the moment to talk at functions for direct sales, which would be nice because I've done that before. It's always a good way to meet people and talk about horse racing, and no better time than the Spring Carnival.
Exactly right. Well, Shane, well done on achieving your goal of producing this book, because I know there's always a lot of hard work and it takes many years, and you've obviously encountered quite a number of setbacks along the way with publishers not being interested, so good on you for getting it over the line with Melbourne Books.
Thanks, Joe. Really appreciate it.
That's Shane McNally, the author of a book being released this month, Women in Australian Horse Racing, The Sport of Queens.